Sports Talk 1240 is brought to you by DraftPot.com. DraftPot is changing fantasy sports. Sign up today at DraftPot.com with promo code SportsTalk1240 and receive a 100% deposit bonus. And now, Sports Talk 1240.
All right, folks, we are back for hour number two. Sports Talk 1240, January 3rd, 2016. It's a new year, but unfortunately and unexpectedly, it is another jet therapy session here at WGBB 1240. So anyway, folks, we're just going to continue along with this. Might throw in a dash of Islander talk. And having mentioned the Islanders, let's bring in the next caller, who is a fellow co-host. We have Gary on the line. Gary, what's going on?
Hey, Happy New Year, guys.
Hey, Happy New Year, partner.
Just coming home from the Islander game. At least one team in New York won, but I got a question to ask, and I was actually seeing the game from juniors in Brooklyn today.
Okay.
Was there any indication to you guys watching the game that the Jets weren't playing desperate? Because, looking from a distance, and like I said, it was a big, long distance from where I was to where the screens were, it didn't look like this was a team that was, as you guys were talking earlier, a team on the verge of the cusp of the playoffs. It didn't look like they were really, there wasn't anything to their step. It just looked like a team going through motions more than a team desperate to try to make a playoff spot.
I could not agree with you more, Gary. I feel the same exact way as that's how I kind of felt today, too. It wasn't desperation. You're in the driver's seat. All you have to do is win this game, and you're in the playoffs. You have no other scenarios to worry about but win, 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 and they didn't play hard enough. They didn't want it enough.
I felt that the big bodies along the line of scrimmage got out-muscled. I thought the Bills were much more efficient in their physical play, offense and defensive line. They were just better.
They played really good in December. They played really good last week against New England.
Right.
And then they go up to Buffalo, which I'm not.
I mean, they played well for 5 weeks. Put it this way, Gary. I don't think that the Jets didn't bring the right amount of preparation into the game. I think they were emotional coming out for the game, but early in the game, they made mistakes that they don't normally make. They're one of the least penalized teams in the league. And they took penalties.
They usually run
the ball a little more early on. They didn't run the ball a lot early on. And more importantly, Chris Ivory didn't get a carry on the first couple of series. So there were some strange things going on play calling-wise, and there were some obvious things going on from a player execution point of view. And that,
was mostly
the play at the line of scrimmage. The Bills were getting the push. The Bills were in our backfield on the snap. But when the Bills had the ball and they snapped it, the Jets' defensive line was not in that backfield causing disruption. They just weren't. They got out-muscled today. They did, if that's what you were saying.
It's an unfortunate disappointment, but again, if you would have told me in the end of August, beginning of September, the Jets would be a 10-win team, I would just been like saying, thank you, bless you. So, it's disappointing the way it ended, but you know what? You got to be happy for the way they played.
I'm not happy, Gary.
I don't agree with that.
Sorry about that, Gary.
No, I know you're not happy. I know maybe in about a week or so you may be. Just right now, it's painful. It hurts because you had the opportunities. But I think when you sit down a week or two later, and when all the dust settles, and we're talking about the fact that the team in Brooklyn is maybe 3, 5, 6, 7 points ahead of the team from Manhattan coming in the next couple of weeks.
There you go, Gary. Start to talk.
Maybe might happen.
Between the people in the studio and the people in my car, right now we're outranking Derek 6-1.
Gary, it's like sitting across from Darth Vader right now with this guy.
Yeah. I'm not really thinking about the Rangers. I'm more engulfed in this therapy session here.
Because
let me just say this,
why
Gary.
Why would you think about the Rangers when your goalie can't stop a beach ball?
I was hoping that today the Jets would give me reason to ignore the Rangers for a while. And although I understand where you're coming from in one aspect, Gary, saying, and I would agree if you said, hey, would you have signed for 10 wins before the season? Yeah, I would. But when I got 10 wins going into the last week, Gary, and I've won 5 in a row, and I've beaten the Giants for the first time since 93, in overtime no less, and I've beaten the most dominant football team the last 15 years, in December, in overtime no less, and I've built and accomplished so much in a short period of time, 5 weeks, the bottom line with the Jets is today they failed to validate everything they had done. They just failed to validate it. You know, it's like this, Gary. It's like the Islanders make the playoffs, and they're up 3-0 in a series, and you're making this big celebratory cake for your booster club, right? And it looks beautiful. The first cake you ever attempt to make, you got the instructions right, the ingredients, everything, it looks perfect. And it's 3-1, 3-2, 3-3. And when the Islanders lose that seventh game, it's like your wife comes up after Bailey blows it in game 7 and just puts both her hands through the cake and just ruins it. It doesn't matter how well you prepared the cake. It's a mess. It stinks. It's done. It's over. That's what happens, Gary. Do you understand how I feel now?
I understand that, but you right now upset the president of the Booster Club. And the not a good thing.
And with that, I feel very vindicated.
Happy New Year, Claire.
But you know what? It was a really interesting game in Brooklyn tonight. I mean, the shots, I think, were 45-41.
Very defensive-minded.
1980s hockey, Gary?
I'm sorry?
1980s hockey?
I would definitely say a little bit of 1983 action, yeah. All right. You know, unfortunately, you know, I was hoping, you know, it was 5-2 after the second period. You know, things looked good, and Dallas inched their way back. Cal Clutterbuck got a second goal. It was really a sweet penalty, a shorthanded goal. Watch the replay, John. You'll really appreciate it. But they held on, and, you know, you had the best team in the NHL, and they took it to them. They really played their hearts out. And after a real cruddy game that they had in Pittsburgh last night, they needed something like this. And maybe it's a good panacea of when they go take on the Washington Capitals.
That's going to be a big game on Friday, yeah.
I think that's a big win coming off of a tough loss on the road. But you know they rebounded after losing to Toronto, beat them up there. They lost to Pittsburgh. I think coming home and taking out one of the top teams record wise in the NHL, that's a big win. Don't let any bleeding occur. So that's a good spot for the Islanders to grab a win. The goalie's out, right? Halak's hurt. Do you have an update on Boychuk? What's the status with Johnny Boychuk?
Obviously he's on IR, so that means they're probably going to hold him for at least another 7 to 10 days. Supposedly, Halak was supposed to come off the IR today. Don't know why he didn't, but maybe they're just hopefully maybe saving him for Thursday night with Washington.
Right. I got
Grice has never played this many games consecutively, I don't think, in his NHL career at all. And you can see they're starting to get a little
into the
armor a bit, but... But, you know, when he had to, especially in a couple of the scrums late in the third period, he made some brilliant stops, especially there's a couple of point-blank stops he made in the last minute when Dallas pulled their goaltender. I mean, obviously he got one by him, but in the last 30 to 45 seconds, Grice really showed why he's been such a great surprise and a great outstanding so far backup for this team this season.
Yeah, I like him a lot.
He was amazing in Buffalo. I mean, the Islanders won that game, but Buffalo had 42 shots on net, and he had several key stops, especially early on when Buffalo had a 5-on-3 power play.
I watched a little bit of the game before we left, and I saw Clutterbuck was they had that penalty, that 5-minute major on him. And
yep.
I didn't see too much after that. But he said he came back and scored 2 goals, I'm assuming?
Yeah, Clutterbuck had 2 goals. Oposo was the number one star, 2 goals and an assist. And actually, if you take a look at his second goal, it almost was slightly bossy-like because he actually was in the air as he pushed the puck past
I can't wait to see that.
Harry Lehtinen for his goal. It was a really pretty goal to see.
Did Josh Bailey play? Because I didn't see too much about him at all.
Claire, you want to answer that question?
He did some nice things.
Yeah, he did some nice things, so Claire's not
going to
say anything bad about Josh.
Before we cut you loose, Gary, you know, here we have a jet therapy session going. Callers included, you know, it's almost like, you know, Jetaholics Anonymous. So part of taking that first step in recovery is admitting that you're a Jet fan. Are you willing to take that first step and admit that you're a Jet fan?
Me? I absolutely admit I'm a Jets fan.
Okay, that's good. That's a good job, right?
Yes.
That's step one of the 12-step process. I'm glad to do it.
We want to thank you for contributing.
No problem, Derek. Hey, listen, guys, enjoy the rest of your show.
All right, Gary. Happy New Year.
Thanks for calling.
All right, see you again. Bye-bye.
All right. That's part of the recovery.
A little hockey in there. At least we got one winning team in New York right now.
Today you had one more. Yeah. Okay. All right, we got another call. We got another John on the air. Oh, we got Elwood.
Uh-oh.
We got Elwood from Indianapolis. Elwood, what's going on, buddy?
Well, let's talk about the Jets getting a limit from the playoffs.
Well, that gives you some joy since your team's been out since midseason.
Hey, wait, this was supposed to be Jet therapy. What is this?
Yeah, he's a Colt fan.
Yeah.
Elwood, is your coach getting fired this week?
I hope so.
You hope so?
I hope he gets the boot Monday. Yeah.
Why do you hope he gets the boot?
I do. He's awful. Get rid of him. This was a terrible season.
Well, he had a 40-year-old quarterback going in.
You guys are Jets fans. You're used to this. I'm not used to this. You know?
You're not used to what? You had
not
Peyton Manning.
The playoffs.
If you didn't have Peyton Manning, you would have had nothing in that lousy city. What are you talking about? Are you kidding me? Hold on here. Are you kidding me? If you didn't have Peyton Manning,
he's going to start a war with
Indianapolis. You got a coach. You got a coach that had a 40-year-old quarterback, 32-year-old running back, a 34-year-old wide receiver, and a 34-year-old defensive end leading your team in sacks. And you're telling me that the head coach
on this show
deserves to get fired after his star young quarterback severs his kidney? Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah.
Okay. Who's your next coach?
Look,
Mickey Mouse?
He gets sick. They bring in Arians. We start doing good. He comes back. We start stinking again.
Oh, come on.
Gotta go, man.
You got an old team. How about you replenish the roster with some football players?
They need some young players. Yeah.
I agree, but like I'm saying, he had the tools to get us to the playoffs this year. You know,
really?
Give me a break. Yes, he did. Just because it fell apart there at the end. And today, they dominated that game.
How many games did Andrew Luck miss?
Oh, about half of them, didn't he? About
what was his record when he was starting at quarterback?
Yeah, but that.
No, oh, hold on. I didn't ask you to comment. I asked you a question. What was the team's record when Luck was playing quarterback?
I don't recall.
Was it 2-5?
No offense, Elwood.
Because
I saw
the Jets beat him on a Monday night.
He killed me in fantasy. I thought he was going
to
be my guy, and he killed me.
They had to do some firing there in the beginning.
Why did you fire the owner? The owner, Irsay, I would classify him as a jackass, wouldn't you?
No.
Oh, really? Oh, he's a great owner. He's just stellar. I know.
His dad brought the Colts to Indy. His dad,
no, not him though.
His father brought him to Indianapolis.
Got locked up for doing drugs in the back of
his son, born with a silver spoon in his mouth.
Painkiller. So Rush Limbaugh. He's not the problem. It's they got to get a good coach in there. They got to get some tools around.
Yeah, but anyway, when you got a 40-year-old quarterback, how do you expect to win? Josh Freeman in there today.
Because the 43-year-old kicker, I don't know.
All right, who do you want to be your next coach?
Kick is it?
I have no clue. Because
no clue? You're a Colts fan. You don't have an idea. Just get rid of the coach, but don't put anybody in
there? I'm not going to sit here and just make a wish list. Well, Belichick sees the light and comes over. I'm not going to do that kind of stuff. I got to see who's, you know, I wish Arians would come back, to be truthful. But
you're not giving me a realistic answer.
He's going to win himself a championship in Arizona.
I don't have to give you.
All right.
I don't know.
So you don't have any idea who you want to coach. You just want the coach out.
Yeah, because he's not working, and Luck needs a team to build around. And I don't know. It's irritating. Get him out of here. You know, we got freaking Andrew Luck. He's better than Peyton was at that age. There's so much potential in this team. Let's get some winning.
Luck is better than Peyton Manning was at that age?
As far as that.
You know, it's like when you're at a Knicks game or something, you just scream, stick to baseball, you know?
Well, you know what the problem is with your team, Elwood? You drafted last year they took the number one overall, a wide receiver again.
Oh, I agree. They draft terrible.
You need to beef up that defense.
Terrible. I mean, they mortgaged the hilt for Warner. He stinks. They did the whole same trick again with another guy. It's like, come on, draft some decent people. I agree. They hit the lottery with Luck, and it's like, you can't just keep relying on your quarterback. That's what happened in 2011, we put all of our eggs in the Peyton Manning basket.
Didn't Chuck Pagano miss games because he had cancer treatment or something like that?
Yeah,
he was out for a long time.
Oh, you're all heart by wanting to fire him. And wasn't he 11-5 the last 2 years?
He's been well for several years.
Well, he got you to the playoffs the last 2 years at 11-5 when Luck was healthy. So now one bad year with his quarterback out half the season. You think he deserves to be fired? That's what you're saying.
No, it was shaky last year. Last year should have been a lot better. I mean,
they were 11-5 last year. How do we mean shaky? They
lost
in the championship game
last year.
They lost in the championship game to the Super Bowl winner.
You can't go to the Super Bowl every year.
No, I agree. Hey, the Colts have only won two in their whole history as a franchise. Yeah. As a team.
Okay. So why are you so excited? You're calling up. Why are you so excited about the Jets getting knocked out today?
I was hoping the Jets would do a little bit better, but
geez,
that was DVR because I couldn't watch it live, of course. But that was pretty bad. But you know, I mean, and guys, that time the Colts beat them. Come on, now, don't that rightly so stuff. Come on, geez. I was at that game. Give me a break.
Yeah, the Jets dominated them, didn't they?
They didn't dominate.
Oh, they didn't.
What I guess we watched.
You must have been
games.
Getting beers or something at the time. What was going on?
Elwood, I recall you calling my very show with Raymond that very day. Uh-huh. You said that your team was going to win by two scores. I'm just going to leave it at that.
You know what? You know what, Elwood? Now I hope the Colts never win with Andrew Luck at quarterback.
Well, you're not going to get
you
that.
You want to sit here and find some comfort in my team missing the playoffs, the last watch. Game of the year? That's just great.
You got a nice baseball and hockey, you know, to fall back on.
Well, you got a lot of minor league sports in that city, right?
Yeah,
the Indiana Pacers is another minor league team.
Yeah, you should see the minor league Pacers make the
He's
Nets.
He's
going to
start
and,
a war
Knicks.
With the whole city of Indianapolis. Oh
my God. You're going to start a war. You know, it's so funny. At New Year's, we drop a big Indy car. It's a life-size Indy car from the top of the building down like they do the ball. And I was like, that's our so wannabe New York making it us. It's funny.
But that's the only thing good about Indiana is the Indianapolis 500, isn't it?
Oh, the fair. The state fair in August is pretty good, too.
That's two? And good. Peyton Manning was three, but guess what? He's never coming back. He's the only one. He's the only one that you're going to be cherishing as you grow old and gray someday, like I am right now. And I want you to think of me when the Jets finally win a Super Bowl and your team still has nothing, with Luck or whoever's running the ship there.
The only person that's going to live to see the Jets win another Super Bowl is Redwood Tree. So, listen, guys. Yeah, Colts are all bad. I was there at Peyton's first game at the Hoosier Dome, and he didn't look as good as Luck on his first day. It's just Luck has had nothing
to work
with.
Yeah, he stunk. He only threw for 4,000 yards every goddamn
year.
That game and how many MVPs did he win? Eight
three
times
MVPs.
First team All-Pro? You know what? You make
three
me
MVPs.
Sick. You better start to cherish and appreciate what Peyton Manning did for that franchise, because Luck will never accomplish that. Ever. There is no way.
Elwood, Peyton Manning is the best season quarterback in the history of the NFL.
Hey, the guy, I love the guy.
Now, really, Elwood, if your team had any semblance of a defense, he probably would have won multiple Super Bowls. Let's be honest about it. I mean, your defense is what cost you more titles than the one that he got you to and won. And he did get you to another one, and you blew it against the Saints. So I don't know what to tell you.
Hey, I agree with that one.
So if you had a defense, how many titles do you think? I mean, the guy was like a 13-time Pro Bowler, and I think he was like 7 or 8 times first-team All-Pro. At quarterback, that is unheard of. So you better go back and do a little research on Peyton Manning before you try to equate Andrew Luck to him. And I'm telling you, if that team had a defense, they would have won more than one Super Bowl. Because the year they did win, their defense stunk all year, but in the playoffs, they didn't give up 100 yards on the ground, not one playoff game in 2006. And that's why they won.
Plus, Peyton Manning never missed a game until like 2 years ago. Like
Andrew Luck and
Luck already missed how many games?
Three times, and Andrews won two of them. So, you know, I think we made the better choice in the long run.
Well, we'll see. Time will tell. But right now, I'm right, and you're wrong.
Andrew's going to be playing, and Peyton's going to be on TV peddling Papa John or whatever flavor of the month he's on.
He's already had his career. He's going to Hall of Fame. It doesn't matter to him.
Well, that's why I said I'm not. I don't just sit. Hey, I love Peyton to death.
I just think you're ungrateful.
I'm not ungrateful. Good grief.
You have anything else to say before we part ways tonight?
No.
No?
No. I'm sure in the back of the your sports store you'll be able to get all your Jet stuff.
Yeah,
on
I'm sure I will. I don't need. I saw it firsthand. Well, you're an Islander fan, aren't you? So you could celebrate that tonight. They won a game.
Yeah, I saw that. I got that DVR.
There you
go. I haven't watched it yet because I went to the Colts game today, so it's been a little heck.
Well, when I saw your name, that you were on hold, I was kind of hoping you were going to talk about the Islanders.
Was Josh Freeman in there behind the
center? Yeah, Freeman started.
And who came in after him?
Freeman was the quarterback, guys.
Yeah.
He was de facto head number one. He can go to his grave saying, I was the head quarterback for an NFL game. Well, no, he was the head man. No, guys, believe it or not, we won. This is the Colts won with the backup.
That's good.
They
in all seriousness, we got another call to get to, but Happy New Year, and we appreciate you following the show from that far away and calling in. All right, who's on hold now? Ralph is gone. Way to go, Ralph. Listen, don't hang up, Ralph, and then we got a dial tone. That sounds horrible on my end. Sounds like I'm boring you to death. And isn't Ralph an Islander fan?
Yes.
So he should be ecstatic. He should have been waiting there to talk about the Islanders. All right, so we're going to welcome in another co-host, Nkwa, the Nigerian Nightmare,
yes.
Asanye. I want your take. As a young Jet fan, I want your take on what went on today. And first and foremost, in Jet Therapy, we need your name. And are you willing to admit that you're a Jet fan and you need help?
My name is Nkwa Sonyet Jr. I'm a first-generation American, and I sadly am a New York Jets fan.
There you go.
Welcome to therapy.
Like the rest of my welcome to therapy.
Welcome to therapy, Nkwa. Tell us what's on your mind.
You know, the worst of it was I was talking to one of my good friends last week because I was in church, and we actually had Bible study after service, and it was really good. And this was last week against the Patriots. I'm driving home, spreading home. I've got Bob Wischusen on the call. I come in to watch Fitzpatrick lead the team down the field in overtime. I'm thinking, yes, this is what I wanted. Same thing happens today. Bible study right after church. I'm following the game, but I wasn't driving home today. All I kept thinking was they didn't take the lead. Like, not once. Against a Bills team, which, yes, they've got pieces on defense. But it's a Bills team that's obviously not as good as you. And secondly, it's a game, we talked about this during the break, it's a game you have to have.
Right, you got to win it.
Their point differential, the Jets have them beat, these are season-ending stats now. The point differential, the Jets have them beat by 53 points. Buffalo scored only 20 more points, excuse me, more than they allowed, compared to the Jets' 73 more points. And they couldn't get anything in the fourth quarter. But the thing that astounds me most of all is that for the first time all year, the Jets got bluffed. Because this was a time where they said, oh, wow, Ryan Fitzpatrick can throw. He's got targets now. We're going to let him throw 35 times a game. But Chris Ivory had 9 rushes for 81 yards. Pretty efficient, but he only got the ball 9 times. So between a pretty solid arsenal of backs, you chose to put the game in the hands of a still very decent NFL quarterback, but not everything was utilized to its fullest potential. And that's just from a game planning standpoint. But the fact that you came out flat, honestly, I don't buy that they came out emotional. There's no way you come out emotional and trail the whole game.
Whole game.
Yeah.
Against your former coach!
Yes, I agree.
You don't come out flat for that. You let Leonis McKelvin tell the media that your quarterback will give his defense a chance to make plays.
Slap in the face. That's a slap.
That's disrespect. And you didn't lead the entire game. And I watched him throw 3 of those interceptions.
Sammy Watkins.
And you let Sammy Watkins go off for 140 yards. Just, what happened? What happened?
12 men in the huddle.
Yeah.
Just penalties. Yeah. So many penalties were characteristic today.
Just weird stuff. And they picked the worst time to do it.
They bring in the backup quarterback. The Jets jump off sides on fourth down. Penalties. Things that this team didn't do all year did today. They self-destructed today. And to make things worse, to me, not to you, Darth, to me, was a loss to their old coach, Rex Ryan. Rex Ryan punched them right in the face today for the second time this year.
At the worst possible time.
At the worst possible time. They are in the driver's seat. Don't worry about Pittsburgh. Don't worry about anybody else. All you have to do is win this game, yeah, and you are in.
Your destiny is in your and hands. You don't have to worry about what anybody else does.
You're correct. But they had all the momentum going into the fourth quarter.
That's why this loss is one of the worst losses to me.
They had a good third quarter, for the most part. Through the touchdown pass to Decker, and it's 19-17 going into the fourth quarter. They get the ball. They're moving right down the field. It's first and 10 at the 20, man. Right. Whether you want to run with Ivory or you're going to throw like they did, you can't try to force that ball in there in the end zone. Throw it away and move on to second down.
Well, why weren't they running from the first place? They have the 20-yard line.
The first interception was all on Fitz. I'm just saying, like, individually, 10 minutes left everybody in the game. Took a chance on offense.
10:43 when he threw his first pick in the fourth quarter.
That one was on him.
They should have been running the ball. Don't throw that ball away, like you said. Why you even throw it?
Listen,
run.
You cannot force that pass. I believe that the receivers didn't run the proper route in there, but you cannot try to force that pass in there. And then that second pick was on DeBrickishaw Ferguson. It was on him. You cannot let it. a guy get into your quarterback in crunch time. I mean, you're driving down in the last 4 minutes of the game there.
They shouldn't have, look.
Which brings me back to in between those two interceptions. The defense let them drive the ball for like 7-8 minutes and kick a field goal. That's not a top five defense. That's why ultimately the defense cost them this game. The Bills had the ball the entire game.
What were they 9 for 22 or 9 for 20 on third down? 2 for 2 on fourth
11
down.
For 22 if you combine the fourth down conversions. Rex tried to help them by going for it on fourth downs. The one time the Jets took a penalty, their drive going. The other time, they scored a touchdown. After the Jets called a timeout. After they saw how they came out and lined up, they called a timeout defensively, and he still stuck it up the gut and scored a touchdown.
I had the baby aspens in my hand. I was popping them like Tic Tacs. I was ready to have a heart attack in this case.
I'm with you.
Well, this one's going to hurt for a long time.
That's what being a fan's all about. All right, who we got on hold there, bro? Ralph is back. Ralph, what's going on? Welcome to Jets Therapy.
Yeah, I heard. Bad loss today. Very bad loss. What were they thinking?
Well, that's just it. You have your destiny in your own hands. I mean, right. You didn't have to rely. It's one of those weird situations where you're not relying on everybody else's this to happen, B, C, D, E, F. You could just win, and that's it. You punched a ticket.
Right. And, you know, you're playing your ex-coach. You should have more motivation playing your ex-coach saying, you know what? Everybody in New York ran this guy out of New York. They didn't like his tactics. He did nothing for us.
Thank you, Ralph.
Here under the new coach.
That's exactly what I'm saying. You're playing your own coach.
And I agree with the fact of throwing that ball. They knew Fitzpatrick was throwing the bombs. That's what he's been doing. And he threw the last three bombs, the worst ones of the whole season.
Yeah, but he got hit at the end. The last interception I don't mind as much. Right. It was also the time clock. It wasn't right. No. 2:15 left in the to the 2 minute warning. They didn't call a timeout, right?
What happened?
They wasted so much time.
And the worst of it was in that 10 seconds. If you come back from that 2 minute warning and it's fourth down, you don't convert. You have 3 timeouts to stop them, and then you have way more time to try and work your way down the field. Instead, you lost the play.
Exactly.
Well, the other problem there was they only had 2 timeouts left because they wasted a timeout early in the second
half. But then at the very least.
That's why they only got the ball back with 55 seconds at the end instead of a minute 35.
Because they had 10 men, only 10 men on the field.
It was ridiculous. They didn't have enough guys on the field. That one, it was horrible.
Also messed up on getting a playoff before the 2 minute warning.
Yeah, they didn't go no huddle. That I agree with. There was no sense of urgency in that regard.
Because they would have threw Buffalo a play. Buffalo had a chance to check and see what he was going to do. You know what I mean? Gave him a little rest.
Ralph, 1999 was the last time the Buffalo Bills went to the playoffs, except for today, for Rex Ryan. This is their playoff game today.
They said as much.
Yeah.
And he's laughing all the way home right now.
And you know what? It's so hard to get in the position the Jets were in right now. All they had to do is win. You don't know what could happen next year.
Exactly.
Patrick could go down. Marshall had a great year, MVP year for the team.
Yeah,
and he could get hurt.
There's no guarantees in the NFL because it's 16 games, guys can get hurt and change the whole destiny of your team.
And a lot of the teams this year, Dallas went kaput.
Yeah, exactly. There's a great example. Yeah, they lose Tony Romo.
Right.
Especially the way with Cincinnati and Denver losing their quarterbacks right now, and
right,
the Texans.
How
about Carson
Palmer got down right today? I heard.
I didn't.
Seattle beat him up.
Did they hurt him?
That game was a nonsense game. They were going for first place, and they
said he got knocked out of the game. He didn't play anymore.
I don't know the status.
I don't know what's going on, but I know they destroyed him.
I can't even believe you guys even care about any other games that went on today.
I don't.
They came up.
This defense really failed miserably in trying to validate what was going on for 5 weeks. But in that fourth quarter, and I'll throw away, forget about the last interception. Let's take that out of the equation, and let's make it 2 interceptions. Here's the bottom line. The last 5 weeks before today, and the first 3 quarters, Fitzpatrick threw, let's say, 240 passes and threw only 1 interception. And in the fourth quarter, the first one was his fault. The second one was Ferguson's.
In the fourth quarter alone,
he threw those 2 crucial interceptions.
Yep.
And that's a microcosm of not coming through in the clutch.
Right.
Which is what it's all about as a fan. That's what you're going to remember as a fan. The defense overall is the main culprit in costing us this game today. But in the clutch, you got crucial interceptions in the wrong spot at the wrong possible time.
Right.
And then you can factor in other things like, you know, like we talked about with the penalties.
I don't think the team was prepared as well as they could have been prepared, in my opinion.
I just think they didn't execute well. I think
Rex Ryan outcoached them today.
In certain aspects, he might have, but yeah, that's us just looking at the final results.
How do you not put two guys on Sammy Watkins?
Well, listen, that's a scheme thing you could talk about. You have to talk with coaches to know what's going on with that stuff. But I understand trying to disguise defensive coverage and try to jump her out. But ultimately, I'm not going to believe that they were that good for five straight weeks and focused and determined and prepared. You're not going to tell me they weren't prepared going up here. I think they were prepared for the game. I just think that they failed to get it done.
Execution.
It was failure.
Execution. Right. That's right.
Well, at least your 49ers won today in overtime. Go out in a little bit of a.
The Niners and the Cowboys rebuilding, and so are the Giants.
Your coach is getting fired this week sometime.
They've all won a number of Super Bowls. Here at Jets Therapy, we don't care about that.
We're at Jet Therapy, Ralph, but I just want to say, on a high note, at least the Islanders won today against the best team in the NHL.
Oh, without a doubt. That was a good game.
All right. Have a glass of wine and enjoy that one.
Happy New Year, brother.
Happy New Year. Thanks for calling. We got to go to a break.
We'll talk to you. You guys be safe going home, okay, pal?
Thank you.
Take it easy, Ralph.
All right, folks, we got a half hour left of Jets Therapy. When we come back, more with Enqua, Sweeney, and Panarese.
And
yours truly.
And Darth Vader the Wozniak.
And Darth Vader.
Back after this.
You're listening to Sports Talk 1240, right here on Long Island's AM 1240 WGBB. Be sure and visit us online at sportstalk1240.com.
Hey, fantasy sports fans. DraftPot has an exclusive offer for Sports Talk 1240 listeners. Sign up today at DraftPot.com with the promo code SportsTalk1240, and DraftPot will match 100% of your first deposit. That's right. Sign up today at DraftPot.com with the promo code SportsTalk1240, and DraftPot will match 100% of your first deposit. What are you waiting for? Do it now.
Country Foot Care, official podiatrists of the New York Lizards, have been delivering state-of-the-art foot care with good old-fashioned caring to Long Island residents for over 30 years. Specialists in sports medicine and foot injuries, Country Foot Care can be reached at 516-741-FEET or online at countryfootcare.com.
Unflippable, unflappable, unleakable. The Gust Buster is the only umbrella that won't flip inside out, rip, tear, or leak. Capable of withstanding winds over 55 miles per hour. All of our umbrellas are constructed of the finest quality materials and backed by a limited lifetime guarantee. What are you waiting for? Visit GustBuster.com and get your GustBuster today.
Whether you're a couple enjoying a romantic meal for two, a family wanting to dine in a relaxed and friendly setting, or a larger party wanting to celebrate a special occasion, Miller Place Pastoria always combines a warm welcome with the finest contemporary Italian cuisine and wines, also serving up Long Island's favorite pizza. We're located right on Route 25A in Miller Place. Come visit us today and check us out online at mppastoria.com.
You're listening to Sports Talk 1240, broadcasting every Sunday night beginning at 8 p.m. right here on Long Island's AM 1240 WGBB, the station that serves your community. And now, back to the show.
All right, Sweeney, I know it's Jet Therapy here, but I want to give you a little glimmer of hope for the future with your Islanders. So I want to play a little theme music for you and Gary and Panarese. As the Islanders set you up for the next great fall, come April. Good luck. Do you enjoy that?
Pull out my lightsaber, whack you one.
This reminds you of when you were in first place all those days last year.
It's still early.
And so, folks, my new nickname is Darth Vader. John Sweeney.
John Sweeney. Check on you in a couple of minutes.
And Gary Harding, Laverne and Shirley. As per last year's declaration. as my Rangers flew past them in March and seized the division title.
There's a chink in the armor in the for the king. Your king.
There is no king until further notice.
I was going to say, you know what? It's 40 games. You still got 42 games to go.
You can't stop a beach ball. You know your goalie's
a lot of work to do.
Yeah, well,
he's worried about his clothing.
I'm not happy with Rangers Town right now.
That's why the hockey season.
I was hoping that the Jets would divert my attention for a few weeks,
but the last
and that was not to be, apparently.
No.
Hold on a minute. The last I checked, I was looking at a milk carton, and I saw Rick Nash's picture on there. So what are you talking about? Has that guy done anything?
Is he still on the team?
You tell me. Is he still on the team?
I think technically
he's
still
on the team. What about your Kreider guy, your superstar Kreider, that was drafted the same round, in the first round with John Tavares? What has he done lately?
He is a big letdown
this year. Tavares, superstar in the league. Kreider, big letdown?
He is a big letdown this year.
Understatement.
Understatement?
But let's stick back to
clue people in. Apparently John Sweeney does a lot more analysis and watching of Ranger games because he is your typical Islander fan that finds more comfort in the Rangers losing than his own team winning. I understand these things. And what, you're so anti-Chris Kreider because he fell into Carey Price in the semifinals a few years ago? Oh, my heart is bleeding.
I could give you a list of
my heart's bleeding with all those cups that the Canadians possess.
Yeah. Not Price.
So you dislike the guy. But in all honesty, you asked about him. For a guy who should be the ultimate power forward with his size and speed and strength, he has been one of the biggest problems, production-wise, for this Ranger team.
How old is he?
I think he's 23 or 24, Johnny.
Give it a couple of years.
Listen, I'm not saying that I'm giving up on the guy at all, but when I look at the Rangers and I have to analyze what's going on.
Whatever you say, Sweeney.
When I have to look at what's going on, he is part of the problem with what's not happening with this team in terms of consistent play.
Evil empire.
I said, that's why it's 42 games, 82-game season, 42 still to go. So it's not.
No, there's a lot of time, but a guy like Chris Kreider's got to get his act together. Stepan's back from an injury, but he's got to start producing points. And guys like Brassard and Nash and even Zuccarello, who I love. And he's probably been the best forward overall.
Zuccarello's been awesome.
They still have to score more.
Considering how he...
Lindbergh was on fire.
Lindbergh started out well. Yeah. I don't have as big a problem with him, but, you know, Kevin Hayes took a step back this year. Started out okay, but he hasn't been producing. He found the bench. He's been benched the last couple of days by the Rangers. I think he's going to find his way back in the lineup because I think the time's come for Emerson Needham to really just ride the pine unless somebody's hurt because he's 40 games in. He doesn't even have a goal. And he doesn't have more than a handful of adequate games in terms of, you know, just productive shifts. But it's a shame. You know, they had to move Carl Hagelin in a trade, and the guys that came in, ultimately part of the problem with this team is the guys that came in the offseason, whether it's Emerson Needham or Lindbergh's the least of my problems, but Victor Stahlberg came in this offseason.
Yes, well,
he hasn't done much.
It's been a bust every
and the
year.
Third guy that came in was Jarrett Stahl, and they already cut him.
He, I thought, was going to do well.
He did nothing.
Yeah, I thought he was going to do
well. He didn't produce or he didn't contribute at all. And this kid, Edom, I'm telling you, if he wasn't young, he would have been gone already. So that's part of the problem. Another part of the problem, and they've actually been good lately, the Rangers' fourth line, but not producing like prior seasons and the fourth line. But the fourth line, I don't worry about. Dominic Moore is an excellent penalty killer, and Tanner Glass has been playing well with him.
I've always liked Tanner Glass. When he played in Vancouver, he was underrated.
Yeah, a lot of Ranger fans don't like him. I don't have an issue with the way he plays. It's the first three lines, you know, and even guys like JT Miller and Jesper Fast have to start putting up more points because the Rangers, for a team that's, you know, been known for real stellar defensive play the last 5 years, and they've been the best road team the last 5 years, the entire NHL. But recently, they've lost a ton of road games, and they've given up a ton of goals.
They're getting blown out. They're getting blown out.
So they staggered, and they've had a bad month plus of hockey. And like any other team that struggles, they're going to have to find their way, just like Pittsburgh had to do and a few other teams.
You know, it's been a very strange NHL season, the way the cycles have been going, where teams have played stretches of unbelievable hockey, and all of a sudden, it's like they can't even get out of their own way. You know, look at Montreal once Carey Price went down.
there's a key point.
That's a major injury.
Yeah.
You know,
but, you know, look,
but they started out hot just like the Rangers.
Yeah, 9-0.
Pittsburgh's on fire now. Washington
Pittsburgh's
going to run away.
Yeah, well,
Washington,
yeah,
they're going to run away with the division, I still think, and then crash in the
field. I still think Washington's playing above their head. I don't think that they're as great as some people are saying.
That's an interesting analysis because I think Washington has a great team.
Don't get me wrong. I think they probably are one of the best teams, but I think the way they're playing right now, I think Holpe's is a little bit above.
You think so, huh?
Yeah.
You're not going to think that when he wins the Vezina Trophy this year.
Yeah, well.
The Capitals,
wrong.
I said it, and John knows I said it at the end of last year. Right? I mean, they technically should have had the Rangers out in five games.
Yes, yes.
Well, I think
they should have. They made some good additions.
I was going to
Justin
say,
Williams
I
is a clutch
Justin
player
Williams
performer.
And Oshie were
and
great.
Oshie adds goals because when you put Oshie with Nicholas Backstrom and Alex Ovechkin,
right,
his goal production lifts up. And they moved some older guys. John Carlson on the defensive end only getting shown. He's one of the best defensemen,
that's true.
American defensemen. And they got some young guys, Johnny Panarese. Orlov on defense, been real good. Burakovsky. And since he scored in Game 7 against your team, Mr. Sweeney, Mr. Kuznetsov has been phenomenal.
He's phenomenal.
I know.
Phenomenal
I have him on.
The year,
so their young guys are developing.
Well, you
and
know
all
what,
the guys
know.
Are still stars. I am amazed, and this is why I won't give them anything until they get past the second round, but I am amazed that this Capitals team has not been past the second round with Ovechkin on that roster. It's amazing. And that's why they do scare me. They really do. I think they're winning the division. I would say
they're going to win
today,
the division.
They're winning that division. I'd be shocked if they blew it.
Yeah,
somehow.
But I don't. My point is, I think the problem is that some of the other teams in the division that could be challenging them are not playing up to par. So it's making them look that much better.
Yeah, I think the Rangers blew their chance to compete for the division with the Capitals with the way they played. And it took 5 weeks, but they've really blown it. Now they're 12, 13 points behind them.
Right.
And now they're going to wind up competing with the Devils. I mean, the Islanders are ahead of these teams, but the Islanders,
well,
and then you got the Devils,
I'm
the Rangers,
worried.
And you got Pittsburgh. That's four teams for two spots, arguably. Maybe three, but arguably the top three are only guaranteed. So you got four teams competing for two spots with the Islanders, the Rangers, the Devils, and Pittsburgh. That's if we just exclude Philly altogether.
Right.
So that's what the Rangers created for themselves. A team that's a cup contender coming into the year gets off to one of their best starts in franchise history, and now, because of a bad bunch of games played defensively, now they're going to find themselves fighting for playoff spots.
Okay.
And that's just what they created.
I think it's really interesting, though, when you look at a team that's been to through as many playoff battles as the Rangers have, part of me thinks it's fatigue, too. If not so much bodily fatigue, just the mental fatigue of, oh, here we go again. Are we actually going to get it done this time?
Right.
And I feel like
it's
that might
point.
Weigh on them a
That's
little
a good
bit
point,
more.
Because it's a long campaign.
It's January, and instead of being out in front and being the landmark team that they usually are in the East over the past couple of years, now they're fighting for it. Now, I think it's kind of a good thing because if they manage to sneak in,
they're
going to be refreshed, and they're going to say, okay, the pressure's off. We're not the hunted anymore. Maybe we can try and do this thing all over again. But if we're staying stuck in January, they got to get it together first.
I mean, it's a good analysis from this standpoint. The Rangers have played more games than any team in the NHL the last two seasons. Forget about just this year.
Right.
Just the last two complete seasons. Going to the finals 1 year and the semifinals the next.
Yeah, especially.
They've played more games than anybody.
Yeah,
however,
hold on.
I got to be honest with you.
Lindquist has not played that because he missed.
He missed a bunch of games last year. And they won most of them without him.
Right.
And I understand the value put on the fact that they played more games than anybody, and that may be being a factor of fatigue. But you know what?
He's letting up bad goals.
In the end, nobody cares about that. And those 2 years where you combine them, they played more games than anybody, they didn't win the Stanley Cup in either of them. And the LA Kings went through that, and they wound up missing the playoffs last year because of all the games they had played the previous 2 years. You know, they lost to they beat the Rangers in the Stanley Cup, and then the next year they lost to the previous season. They beat the Rangers in the Stanley Cup. The year before that, they lost to the Blackhawks in the semifinals. Last year they missed the playoffs.
Just barely, though. They were worn out. Yeah,
but they missed the playoffs, excuse me, with two Stanley Cups in their back pocket. So, it's not acceptable for the Rangers to miss the playoffs. They ain't got nothing in their back pocket. You know, a President's Trophy? That's nothing. So, nobody cares how fatigued you are. And the Rangers have had a lot of rest recently, and they're still losing games and being outplayed by young teams. It's just not a good sign. So start talking because I'm going to want to call.
Nothing would please me more than for the Rangers to drop down to the fifth spot in the division. And that's what I want to say.
I just think that, you know, it's going to be – I think the whole salary cap in the NHL is just it's changed the landscape. And, you know, I just think
but that's not affecting the Rangers, though, this
year. No. But what I'm saying is it's the overall play of the league. I mean, it's Washington obviously is the standout in the East and Dallas – you know, in the West, but really both conferences, there's a lot of traffic, you know, that's going to be competing to get those last, you know, right, four spots in each of the conferences.
Yeah, there is a lot of parity. I'm a big believer in Dallas's offensive production. The Stars have great offense, especially with, you know, Sagan and Ben, yeah, but they give up a lot of goals. I'm telling you right now, the best two teams right now are the Capitals and the Kings. They really are. They really are. The LA Kings, you know, they kind of hover in that because that division's kind of lousy outside of them. I mean, you want to talk about teams, and I understand the Rangers have struggled for a month plus, but you look at the Anaheim Ducks, who would have thought that they'd be this bad after getting to the semifinals last year?
Yeah, and they, but they're quietly starting to put it back together, though. And they win four in a row. After the Islanders beat them, I think they won four in a row.
Yeah, they've won some games recently. I think they lost their last game, but they've won some games recently.
Yeah, and
they're
only a couple of points. Yeah, and they're only a couple of points out of a playoff spot, just to show you how bad, you know.
You know, Boston started off horribly. They climbed up a little bit. Now they're in fourth place.
Look at the Panthers, how they
Panthers are.
You know, here's a team that's similar to the Rangers. They've been playing much better than the Rangers recently. But, you know, the Blackhawks have a similar type record. But the Blackhawks have three Stanley Cups.
Right.
See, that's why I look at that. I'm not worried about teams that may be a little below what they should be at when they have Stanley Cups. Because Chicago always
experience.
Have that confidence.
Right.
And they have all those Hall of Famers.
As long as they
place.
Get into the playoffs, that's when the experience becomes a real major factor.
Yeah, the idea for the Rangers is you don't want to fall by the wayside and come away with it with no cups like Vancouver did. You know, Vancouver is not on anybody's radar right now. Or like San Jose for a while was a top team. And now they're off everybody's radar. And Washington, everyone will doubt until they get past the second round. So you don't want to go that route. Or even the St. Louis Blues. How many times do people praise the St. Louis Blues? They have great regular season.
Right,
and then
they
torture their fan base. I think Washington and St. Louis torture their fan base more than anybody.
Well, you know, plus look at the Kings this year. Arizona, everybody's doing – the San Jose Sharks are playing horrible this year.
The Kings are great. You want to know why?
The Kings have an easy
defense.
Division right there. Why?
They play defense.
Right, of course.
So that's a Sutter. That's
Quick's
a Sutter
the best
run.
Goalies in the league.
Yeah.
I mean, he's great.
That's pretty good.
They're a great team. With two Stanley Cups already.
Look, there's 10 minutes left. Let's just go. You want to go down the playoffs for the NHL and just see –
For the NFL?
The NFL.
The matchups? Do you have the matchups in front of you? Because you can't go through the matchups unless you have them in front of you.
Well, I know –
Do you know who's playing who? Go to NFL.com. Pull it up.
Yeah.
Who's playing who?
Denver's got the number one seed.
So they get a bye, right?
They
get
amazing.
A bye. Patriots have the number two seed.
They're
going to
play Pittsburgh, right? Oh, they got the
two
seed?
The Patriots are still the two seed. Yeah. So the Bengals are going to play the Steelers.
Ooh, that's going to be a good that's going to be a good game.
And then the Texans are going to play the Chiefs.
Ah.
Really?
Interesting.
The Chiefs are going to wipe them out.
Yeah.
I'm telling you. What really baffles me about the AFC this year, particularly where the Chiefs are concerned, is that usually when someone loses a star player, it's pretty much over. But of all the teams to lose a star player, the Chiefs are the one team that really couldn't afford to lose Jamaal Charles because that was it. That's the franchise because he's so electric and can do so many things for you offensively. And guess what? Alex Smith still managed to do what he did. Jeremy Maclin, every now and again. Kelce,
a
pretty good year himself. And it was enough to get the job done.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Maclin had a good year.
They won 10 in a row.
And they
I mean, that's what would have been so great about the Jets if they would have won this game today. 6 in a row going first. But the Chiefs, 10 wins in a row. I got to say, I'm probably rooting for the Chiefs in the playoffs. If I had to pick a team.
So the Chiefs are playing Cincinnati?
I'm here for that.
The Chiefs are playing Cincinnati, you said?
I said the Bengals are playing the Steelers.
Steelers and the Bengals.
And
Houston's
going to play Kansas City.
That's going to be
Houston.
Oh, boy.
Texan. And what about the.
Can we just wipe off the AFC South, please?
Yeah.
You know what?
I wish
it was 9-7.
Me too!
They got in. I'm going to root for the Chiefs in the playoffs in the AFC. That's the team I'm going to hitch a ride with.
And Houston hasn't played. Their star defenseman hasn't played in like the last 4 or 5 weeks.
Who, J.J. Watt?
No, Houston.
You said Houston. Oh, Justin Houston.
Justin Houston.
For the Chiefs, you mean.
Right, correct. Okay, let's go to the NFC now.
Yeah, how does that
match? Because the playoff matchups aren't going to come out until this game's over tonight between the Packers and the Vikings. So they're not going to give you the playoff
schedule yet. The winner of the division plays.
Minnesota's winning 6-3 heading to halftime.
The winner of the division is going to play Seattle.
Is that what it is?
That's how it works.
That's not good for them, but all right.
The loser is going to play
Washington. Actually.
Yes.
Because
that's right.
Carolina's got NFC a bye. Home field. So
right, they got the bye.
The Cards have a bye
right,
as well.
They got the bye. So there's your two byes. So it's
three seeds going to be decided tonight.
Right.
And then you have Washington as the fourth seed.
Right.
But let me tell you, Washington at home is a sneaky team.
I'd rather play.
Unless they play the Seahawks.
I'd rather play. Yeah. Well, okay. Would you rather play Washington or the Seahawks?
Washington. Yeah,
I'd rather play Washington than the Seahawks.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I'll give Washington credit, man. I didn't think anything of them. But they've been a good home team this year. They finished up strong. They took four in a row to end the season. I thought it was going to come down to the Eagles and the Giants the last week.
They had nothing to play for today, and Cousins threw three touchdowns. He played what he had.
They played a rivalry game.
I don't even know why they put him in.
But they did the job. They went out. They did what they had to do, and they beat the rivalry team. Right? Just like the Chiefs. They played the Raiders, a hated rival. They went out. They did what they had to do. They won their game. Right? The Pittsburgh Steelers went out against a rival and beat them like they should. The Jets, they didn't do what they should have done. They're the one team. You know? Remember when you said to me, oh, the Jets could finish 11-5 and miss the playoffs? And I said, listen.
Yeah.
Not all those teams aren't going to win all their games. Somebody's going to lose. Just don't be that team that loses, right? And they won the next game. Then they beat the Pats in overtime, and the Steelers were the team that originally lost that game.
Yeah, yeah.
They blew the game last week against the depleted Ravens team.
Exactly.
Okay?
That's what made this bittersweet to me even more.
Was right there for you as a Jet.
That's what makes it even more bittersweet because...
And you handed it right back.
Right.
Yep.
You handed the platter right back.
You gave it right back to him, right?
And that's why I don't sign for 10-6 in the end, because of what was created going into the last week.
We said in the beginning, I said the Jets are going to win 10 wins at the beginning of the year. We're on this radio show. And I said they're going to make the playoffs. I was half right. They won 10.
You made a good prediction. Listen, would have been a glorious celebration. I would have brought Hero and cake. We would have had a great time. We would have talked about all the personal
been a
records.
Happy New Year celebration.
I would have basked in the glow of the defense. I would have given Revis some credit. Right? Unlike what we saw, we have to give Watkins the credit. But I don't know what to tell you. They blew it. I was set to, you know, talk all about Fitz and breaking the passing records, breaking Testaverde's touchdown in the season record, you know, putting up one of the best single-season performances of any Jet quarterback. I was ready to talk about Brandon Marshall as the MVP of the team.
He is the MVP.
1,500-plus yards. He breaks Don Maynard's record. That record is almost 50 years old for yardage. He breaks Al Toon's record for most receptions by a long shot, 100-something. The record was 93. He did a ton of great things at wide receiver.
And we're not really a tight end this year either.
And Decker played a great supporting role.
Right.
But another thing that bit him today,
Curly,
that
Curly
was evident all season,
up.
Was those third, fourth, and fifth receivers did nothing.
Curly was nothing. Curly, the special teams with Curly was horrible. There was no third receiver, and they had no tight end.
And UR had some big, he had at least one or two big drops.
And Ivory ran for 1,000.
You know, did Marshall have a bad drop early on? Yeah. Did Decker have a bad drop? Later on, yeah, but those guys contributed in different spots.
See, that's why
Decker was a big part of that touchdown. Not just catching the touchdown itself to make it 19-17. He was a big part of that drive. Marshall was a big part of the moving of the ball at times. You said it when you first got here. We talked about it earlier in the show. You said it when you got here. 9 carries for Ivory. I know you didn't see the beginning of the game. How about this? The first two possessions, he never touched the ball. So I'm thinking, well, if he's hurt,
Ridley ran the ball,
which yeah. I said earlier, if he's hurt, he's a decoy, whatever. But then the first carry he gets, they're already down at least 7-0, at least 7-0, if not more. The first touch he gets on a run play, he goes 58 yards. I'm like, what the hell's going on here? And not only did he go 58 yards, but after he went 58 yards to put him right in scoring position, they threw the ball 3 times incomplete and had to settle for a field goal. So it was 13-0. Before he had a carry. I'm telling you, it was ridiculous. It was 13-0 before he had a carry. They had to take a field goal. What are we doing here? What is going on? I don't get it.
And you've been running, like I said, You know, did they miss Powell that much to come out of the backfield, hitting the little screen passes? Was that the,
I guess.
The was that the I missing?
Well, McCoy was out the whole game.
Right.
Wasn't McCoy one of the top rushers for them?
Yes. Wasn't
in
the right.
The rookie running back Williams got hurt.
Yeah, he got.
And then you get a guy Carlos on the practice Williams. Squad, like I said earlier. I know he had a 50-yard touchdown last week, but Gillespie, what's his name?
I think it's Gillespie.
Whatever his name is, it doesn't matter.
I mean, he didn't do much,
but he converted on a fourth and goal.
I know he sure did.
He converted.
What's going on here?
The Jets took a timeout and they still ran that guy.
Yeah.
And they
right down
and like road. All game long, they got the push at the line of scrimmage. They were more physical than the Jets. Do you cower down to that? Maybe that's what you saw. I think the Jets came out. I think they were emotional enough coming out of the tunnel. But I think once they started getting pushed around physically, it's almost like you cower down somewhat. It's almost like a boxer, right? He comes out, he's got a big talk before the game, and then he gets punched in the mouth. And then all of a sudden, how come this guy ain't doing anything? He's just trying to go the distance. And I think the Jets got bullied around physically at the line of scrimmage, and they just succumbed to it.
And for all of and people are going to pin this one on Coach for a lot of reasons, and I'm willing to subscribe to that only to the point of a couple strategic moves. But he's always been even keel, and there's nothing wrong with him being even keel. They won. They're 10-6 now because he was even keel. But right, somebody would have somebody on that team should have stepped in and been, hey, enough is enough. Somebody specifically on that defense should have said, hey, listen, they keep going to the tight end Salas. I don't know how to pronounce his name. I butchered it. I don't care.
Salas. Whatever, all right.
You went to him on third down, and he was wide open. It's ironically the same thing that happened with Gronkowski last week. They just happened to get away with it.
Yeah.
Like,
and here you go. Ivory, 6 carries, 81 yards.
14 yards a carry.
Unbelievable. And you only run the guy 6 times? You should have ran him 20 today.
You know what the other thing?
You would have won that game today with him running 20. 15, you've got to run that guy 18 to 22 times. You win the game today. You should not be passing at the 20-yard line. Fitz's his first pick with 10:43 left in the game. You run the ball at the 20-yard line. You waste the clock. You run it in.
You know what? They may have scored after that long run by him. I may be wrong about that, but what I'm not wrong about is this one. I remember the second half, the Bills got the ball, and the Jets forced a turnover. They got a fumble recovery, and that one, they had to settle for 3, and that hurts too. And they still turned the momentum by the end of the third quarter, but that hurt also because they didn't force enough turnovers. That was the only one of the game, and they left an easy 7 out there. They got the ball like at the 20-yard line off that turnover, right? So that was another one
I didn't bother talking about. The defense is going to be different next year. I don't even want to think about it right now. But
no, I don't care. Right now, I don't care about it.
I just hope Marshall comes back.
The offseason and that, I'll worry about that come April when they get minicamp and drafts and all that stuff. Right now, it's just folks, we're winding down the show here. It's coming to an end. It goes quick. But in the end, this season, and more importantly today for the Jets, was just about a failure to validate what they had accomplished.
All the accolades that the Jets did this year, all the records they broke and this and that, means nothing to me right now.
No.
When you're riding that bus right there in the driver's seat and you get 4 flat tires right before the finish line.
That's it. Great analogy.
All right. All right, folks. That's it for us tonight.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year,
but
everybody.
I'm going to pop some baby aspirin tonight because I'm not feeling good right now. Jeez. I'm still upset with this loss.
We'll be back with you again, Sweeney and the Wise, at the end of the month. The last Sunday of the month, we'll be with you. And we'll preview the Super Bowl on that show. And we'll see if the Islanders are still ahead of the Rangers. I'm sure my partner's praying for that. For now, this is Darth Vader saying goodbye. For John Sweeney and Kwan Sarnie and John Panarese.
Thanks, guys, for coming in.
See you next time on Sports Talk 1240.
The views expressed in the previous program did not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.